Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this beautiful day, the beautiful day that's calling a lot of our people outside. I pray that you'll send them this way to hear the message this afternoon, and that whoever of us are here, I pray that you'll bless us with a special measure of your Holy Spirit. We know that we need to hear this message, and I pray that you'll bless our speaker, Teresa, as she gives it to us. Bless us with the hours that remain of the Sabbath, too, in this camp meeting, and we thank you for your outpouring here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know that our system is a pre-K through university level system, and we're so proud that we have a fine institution of higher education in our field. And before Teresa comes up to talk to you more about an essential topic, I've asked Brian Cook to come up and tell us just a little bit more about Washington Adventist and what they have planned for you in about an hour and a half.
Well, hello again, everyone. Happy Sabbath. Beautiful weather is drawing everyone outside. I understand that. I'm looking forward to hearing Miss Teresa come and teach us this afternoon. Just wanted to share a little bit of what's going on at Washington Adventist University. We are celebrating some of the highest growth rates that we've seen in the last probably 8 years. It's been incredible. We've seen enrollment grow by 67% in the last 2 years. Some really great incoming freshman classes that are coming, so much so that we're having to open new sections of many of the freshman level courses. So we're really proud of that. And at the same time, we've seen the 67% growth, we've seen our retention rate go from 60% to 85%. So 85% of the incoming freshmen that come are finding that they like what they're, getting at Washington Adventist University, and they're deciding to stay. And believe it or not, that's in no small part due to the support we get from you guys. So we're very grateful for all of those things. Later on today, about 5 o'clock, as we do every year, which we're really happy to do, we sponsor a watermelon feast. I am super excited. A beautiful day like this, there's nothing better to do than chow down on some watermelon. So at 5 o'clock, right out by the youth building, we'll slice up on some watermelon. I want you guys to be there. Please be there. my sons are ready to eat all of the watermelon if you don't come. So, and I have to drive them a long way, so I don't have to stop a lot with them. So I need you to eat some of that watermelon. WAU is an absolutely fantastic institution. We have a lot of great Adventist institutions throughout this country. WAU is one of them. We are the number 2 ranked nursing program in the state of Maryland. Now, that's not just a list of Adventist institutions. That's a list that includes the University of Maryland, Bowie, Towson. It also includes Johns Hopkins University. We are second only to Johns Hopkins. Pretty incredible stuff going on there. We just invested $10.5 million in a brand new nursing building, which includes brand new labs, brand new dummies, brand new interactive classrooms. We're very proud of that. Yes, thank you. We're very, very proud of those things. People who come study pre-med at our university, we have a 90% rate success rate of getting those people, once they graduate, into the med school that they want to go to. There's some really, really incredible things going on there. I said last night in the youth service that people show up in my office every day of the week, it seems. Young students, young men and women who say, I want to come study this program at your school. I said, that's fantastic. What Seventh-day Adventist church do you go to? And they say, what is an Adventist? I say, okay, well, how did you hear about our outstanding program? They said, well, I went to Google and I asked around, and everybody told me that if I wanted to do this program, Washington Adventist University was the place to be. So people are showing up who want to sign up and join our classes that have nothing, that don't know anything about Adventism at all. And I think because of that, we're seeing an increase in the number of people who are being baptized at our spring revivals. We're seeing the increase in the number of people who are going on missions trips, and increase of people who are coming to our student-led Vespers. So we're really proud of all of that. We really believe in outreach. We really believe in welcoming and sharing the gospel with those people who do come. We couldn't do it without you guys, so thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And we're glad that we could just give a little bit back today. So thank you for everything you do. I'll be around later. I hope you come and eat some watermelon, okay? Thank you.
Not yet. There we go. We got it on. Good afternoon. How are you? Thank you for coming back in and spending part of your Sabbath afternoon with me. From a quick show of hands, just to have an idea, who was here for part 1 on Thursday night? Who heard part 1? Okay. Good, good. Thank you again for coming back and being victims again. I appreciate that. Today, when they asked me to perhaps share a message that had to do with education, one of the things that I wanted to share with the concept and the idea in the idea of raising a Daniel in today's world was to actually give you a hands-on tool, something that could actually equip you as a parent, as a grandparent, as a Sabbath school leader, as a church member, on how we can help equip and help develop further the lives of these young Daniels that we would like to have. And so I'm going to tell you a little story, how this little talk kind of came about. And this is a part of a series that I do every year for Adventist schools that are in my area. And I do this as part of my own contribution to the mission field. I consider being able to go back into the schools. I do in October every year, I do four chapels, one for every single week in the month of October. And the theme of those talks in October is about temperance, okay? And the way this kind of came about is that I reflect back to my own Adventist education, and I was 8 years old in the third grade at Indianapolis Junior Academy in Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm a preacher's kid and I'm a principal's kid. And my mom was the secretary, so I could never get in trouble at school. And we were the first people to leave and the last people to leave every single day of school. So this is kind of where I get a lot of my influence. Well, in third grade, I won a prize. I won first place for my temperance poster. What we did is every year we had a week where we focused on temperance. And we, the school gave a challenge to all of the students in the school to actually create some sort of a message that would help people understand about maybe things that we should not take into our body that might be unhealthy. So my prize for my temperance poster that year was Be Wiser, Not Budweiser. So I guess maybe I knew very early on that I was supposed to work in marketing and ministry, right? So, because I was, I don't know how that came up with that slogan, because I don't even know what Budweiser was at that time. But we had a lot of fun. So it's the idea of equipping young people, but I'm going to tell you personally, through all of the transitions in my life and through all of the experiences that I had in my life, that foundation of that experience helped equip me to prepare me for the world that essentially I was going to have to go and encounter. So today's talk is a little bit different than what we talked about on Thursday night, where we talked about the generations and understanding what happened in the generations and all the data that goes into why Adventist education is so valuable and why Adventist schools is 5 days a week evangelism. So I'm going to share a little bit about this with you. So let me have you kind of reflect. Make sure I got my equipment going here. Okay. So let's start with the definition of what temperance means. Now, this is a really old-fashioned word. Do we really kind of sometimes still use this? You know, some of us old-timers kind of remember this word. But basically, the fundamental part of temperance means self-control. Okay? So what's great is that the Bible actually tells us that character traits are important for Christians to have. And in Galatians, it tells us that God brings gifts into our lives, and this happens when we live God's way. The fruits of the Spirit, there are many, and do any of you know that song? There's a kid's song about the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's a really great song. Goes great with Temperance Month. That ends up being our little theme song when I do this with school. So the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's a beautiful way that it ties into the message that we want to start equipping and sharing with our kids. So here's what we mean by self-control. We are always going to be faced with challenges. We're always going to be faced with choice, right? So this is one of the things that you can do to equip yourself or other people. The most important thing that we do when we're faced with those choices is we stop. Then what you need to do is you need to ask yourself two questions. Those two questions is, what could happen if I made that choice? Right? So this helps us to think through some things. Then the other thing that we need to do, is that what I want? Okay? So it's pretty simple. Stop. It permits us the opportunity to think, and then we can ask ourselves those two questions before we move into the next part. So many of you have heard or learned that I'm involved in Adventist education, but my professional background is in reproductive endocrinology. I am a neurobiologist, and I worked as a physician assistant. So I have always been fascinated by the human body and what the human body has to share. And the body has so many magical, beautiful systems in it. So again, we're going to reflect back to what the Bible shares with us. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Now, this is, again, the Message Bible. I love the contemporary message that it has to share, especially for young people. Do you realize that it's a paraphrase, not a literal translation? But again, the message is really good. Didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Now, this message is really important because we're sharing this message with young people, right? And we're trying to help them understand the beauty of the temple that God has made us. So now we're going to get to the good stuff, peer pressure. How do we learn to say no? Okay, so what is peer pressure? So peer pressure is the influence or persuasion by people your own age or people you care about. Now, does peer pressure only happen when you're in middle school? Does peer pressure happen when you're 40 or 60 or 70? Right, peer pressure happens to all of us. Okay, so peer pressure isn't always bad. And in fact, when I work with schools and coach schools about strategies of things, I actually try to teach them how to use positive peer pressure because that's a great way to build good culture and good character in young people. So a couple of the things where peer pressure isn't bad at all is the idea of friendship. How do we encourage each other? How do we accept each other? Friendship in terms of feedback and advice. You know, our friends are very important to us. And they can be strong influencers in our life. Also, peer pressure can be looking to other people as role models. Very shortly, we're going to talk about role models. The other kinds of things that peer pressure isn't so bad is that it helps us understand that we could try something new. Okay? Now, of course, the bad part of that is sometimes trying something new is an influence of something that we really don't want. Okay? But we're scared or nervous and don't know how to get out of the situation. So the next slide, I'm going to show you a little bit of video that talks about peer pressure.
Positive peer influences. Usually, when you hear about peer pressure, people refer to the negative effects that friends may have on you. You rarely hear about positive peer pressure, which is the good influence that friends may have on each other. Imagine that you are standing with a friend when a guy walks up and tries to convince you to buy some white pills. He tells you that they give you a ton of energy and make you feel happier. You consider this. You had a bad day and don't feel like going to track practice, but you don't know the guy at all and have no idea what is really in the pills. Then your friend speaks up. No thanks. Wait, you say to yourself. What was I thinking? Of course I don't want to buy mystery pills off of a stranger. They could make me sick. I could get in serious trouble. There are a million reasons. What was I thinking? No thanks, you say, and the guy walks off to find another target. Your friend rolls her eyes and laughs. You laugh with her. You're glad that she was there to have your back. Friends may influence positive behaviors just as easily as they may influence negative behaviors. This is why it is important to choose the right friends in your life. Imagine that you get your midterm progress report and realize that you haven't put much time into studying, homework, or school in general. Your grades are bad, really bad. The next day, your friends mention that they are going to be in a lot of trouble if they don't get their grades up. You are in a lot of the same classes, so you all agree to study together. After a few days of studying with them, you find that you can help each other out if you get stuck. Plus, it breaks up the boredom of studying the subjects you don't like. Friends may also encourage each other to share their talents with the world or for a good cause. Let's say that you love to sing, but you are afraid to let anyone hear you. You reveal to a friend that you dream of being a singer, and your friend convinces you to start a band, as he or she loves to play the guitar. Practicing makes you both better performers, and positive reinforcement gives you the confidence to try out for your school's talent show. Friends may reinforce the good choices that you make for yourself. When you surround yourself with people who make good decisions and who care about you, it is much easier to make the right decisions and stay out of trouble. Keep in mind that part of being a good friend is helping your friends make the right choices too.
Okay, so that's some of the good ways that peer pressure can help us. Peer pressure isn't always bad. So some of the unhealthy kinds of things that we can be pressured into participating in are things like smoking or drinking, eating too little, maybe playing too many games, bullying, stealing, swearing. You know, these are all kinds of things that sometimes young people get faced with choices. So let's kind of pull back a little bit and try to understand what happens with people about why do they give in to this idea of peer pressure. The first thing is that kids are afraid of being rejected by their friends. That's one of the most important things. We all want to be liked. We like being liked. Sometimes we think it's cool if we take on some of those different kinds of adult behaviors and things that we see in people. Sometimes people will tease us if we don't participate. The other kinds of things is that what I find the most important thing that we can do to equip young people is teach them if somehow they get in a situation, how do I get out of that situation? Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know how you got in it and you're not quite sure how to get out of it? Can you imagine being a young person? And this is one of the ways that we can help equip people to understand if they get caught in a particular situation, how they can get out. So unless you want to give in each and every time, I believe that young people need to be equipped. We need to teach them the ways of how to avoid situations or how to be able to speak up. So we talked a little bit about role models and people who influence us. And so I put a couple of people up here who might be influencers. We have sports figures. We have pop culture figures. Who's that lady right there in the middle with the pretty blue eyes? She's a strong influencer. I don't know. She's a great role model. Okay, it's Mrs. Cheryl Jacko, if you don't recognize her already. Forgive me if that's not the best flattering picture of you, but that's the one I could find on the internet. Okay, parents. Parents are our most strong influencers. Grandparents, older siblings, teachers, coaches, and again, the world. There are people in the world that sometimes we are exposed to that do have an influence on us. So again, the idea of this conversation is about really meeting an audience of young people and equipping them and teaching them how to handle themselves. So there are three key ways that we want to be able to equip young people how to do this. The first one is to teach them how to avoid. The second one is to escape. And the third one is to assert themselves or be able to verbally refuse the situation. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to say no by avoiding the offer, okay? The other way we do things is avoid the situation. You know, we have to tell our kids, you know, be careful when you go there. You might be stuck in a situation where you're not sure how you're going to be able to get out of it. So we not only need to just refuse the offer, but we also have to avoid the particular situation, and that helps prevent us those awkward moments. The other kinds of things is to escape the offer. If we're already stuck in the situation, how are we going to be able to tell somebody no? All right? So here are a couple of ways we can do it, is that we can walk away. Just physically remove yourself from the position that you are in. The other kinds of things is that you can give an excuse. Hey, you know, I don't have time right now. I need to leave because I'm supposed to meet my friend. So I'll see you later. Okay, so again, giving kids some of these phrases and helping them learn and becoming more comfortable, they will remember some of these when they are caught in these situations. The other kinds of things is that, you know, you can kind of just give somebody the cold shoulder or move away from that person and talk to somebody else in that particular physical group. The next way is to assert, help our children to be able to assert themselves. Because a lot of times there are situations where they're not able to use the avoid the situation. And so we need to teach them how to say no as well as practice the ability to say no over and over. Okay? So here's a couple of ways of how we refuse the offer. One is a simple one, a simple rejection. No, no thank you. Self-statements, something like this says, well, I don't drink. Or I have too much going on for me. I don't really want to get involved in this. I'm not the kind of person who smokes. The other kinds of things is to help kids think about, well, remember we said stop, think, is this what you want, and what could happen? So obviously, giving kids that tool or that rule to follow when they're faced those particular situations, that they will understand that there's a consequence if they make that choice. Other ways to refuse the offer is to sound like a broken record. No thanks, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks. I don't want any. I don't want any. Okay? The other kinds of things is to make sure that if you're in a group of people, to maybe try to team up with somebody else who's feeling insecure and give them an opportunity to remove themselves from that situation. The other kinds of ways that of teaching kids is to reverse the kind of pressure that they're feeling. No, thank you. You know, I thought you were my friend. And if you were really my friend, why would you ask me to do this? Turn it around back on them, okay? Other kinds of ways of refusing the offer are things like activism, okay? I don't do that, and you really shouldn't do that either. I don't want to be around people like you if you're going to be swearing, okay? Another one is, I know you're trying to be my friend, and thank you for being my friend, but, you know, I don't do that, okay? How about an exchange statement? How about no thanks? How about we go and get pizza instead? Okay? Now, I hope you're seeing, by giving all these different ideas, we all have a unique personality that God has given us, right? Okay? So the way somebody says no and their personality may be very different than another person says no. Would you agree? Okay? So that's why we go through these all these different options, because we're trying to equip our young people with which one fits me. Okay? Now, just because it fits me and my ability to do something now doesn't mean that as I get older, I may change into something else in the way that I use to refuse the offer. Okay? So here's a few more. One of them is look out for yourself. Look, I'm uncomfortable here. I'm leaving, and I'll understand if you want to stay. The other kinds of things is, this is one of my favorite statements, what good can come from letting Mr. Not-So-Smart but Popular copy my science homework? Right? And that's something that's from a position of strength for young people. And again, that's going to fit a particular personality. Another way that you can refuse the offer is to blame your parents. You know, ask your parents if you can blame them. So, you know, my mom would kill me if I ever smoked. Now, I'll share with you a statement, something that we did in our family, is that we had what we called a secret code. We developed a secret code in our family, and then when our kids were in a situation where it was before they were driving, so they couldn't necessarily always physically leave. But what they would say is that I need to make a phone call, and then they would call us, and they would say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, I want to let you know Papa Charlie called, and I forgot to tell you the message. Now, that code meant, hey, I'm stuck somewhere and I can't get out. Would you come help me? Right? So you can blame your parents, but you can also use your parents. So what that did is that if our kids ever got caught in that situation, they saved face with their friends. Right? And that's really important. Now, you also kind of have to be the kind of parent, this part's hard, that you have to say, if you say that statement, I will come and pick you up, no questions asked. Do you see how hard that is? Because, you know, we got to get them in the car and we're going to grill them, right? What's going on? How could you have done this? Blah, blah, blah. That's normal. That's natural. But if we're going to give our kids the safety of becoming independent and becoming secure and being able to say no in some of these particular situations, right? We need to sometimes also say, you know, if you pull the trigger on that, I won't ask any questions. Because believe me, in their little brains, they're processing that experience of just what happened. Okay? I'm never very good at this part, but sometimes people are good at making a joke. You know, sorry, I never smoke on days that end in Y. Okay? Sadly, Sabbath ends in H. I'm just teasing. Sorry, I'm trying to be less popular. Okay? So I hope you understand again, the idea here is that this does not come natural to young people, right? I mean, some people have certain kinds of innate personalities, but most of the time we have to learn through our experiences whether they're good or bad. And I prefer to make sure that we are a lot more proactive in making sure that our kids are equipped with the way that they need to say no themselves. Okay? So here's the idea that we want you to remember. When you are assertive in how you speak and act helps. So if I'm going like this, no thanks, no thanks. I'm really just trying to be not really popular. Does that sound like that's going to do the trick? No, you got to stand up straight, right? You got to project your voice out. No, I'm really just trying to be less popular. Okay? So again, those are kinds of things because our nonverbal is as important as our verbal. Okay? So it's the idea of having these conversations with kids and being able to make sure that they know through practice, you know, how they are able to escape their particular situation. Okay? If you can't avoid the situation or escape the situation, then we want to teach our kids to assertively refuse the offer. All right? I've got another little video here for you.
I know that peer pressure is very common amongst adolescents. Kids get pressured to do things that maybe they're not comfortable with all of the time. And a lot of kids will give in to that peer pressure. But when parents give advice to kids about what to do in these situations, they'll often tell them to do things like just say no, which isn't always necessarily the most effective strategy to just say no. Kids will often continue to pressure you. So what we teach our kids to do in response to peer pressure is to begin by saying no, something like, no, thank you, something like that. If the person continues to pressure them, you want to give some kind of an excuse for why you're not doing what they want you to do. So let's say they're offering you a beer and you're not comfortable with that. You could say something like, you could make an excuse or give a reason like, it gives me a headache. Or you could offer some kind of a personal consequence. I've got to get up early in the morning. You could say something that has to do with your own personal statement about yourself, like, I don't really drink. Or you could play the support role even and say, I've got to drive. But you give some kind of an excuse, and just one excuse is usually fine. From there, if they continue to peer pressure you, you want to use what we call the broken record technique, which is kind of going back to that, no, thank you, I'm good. No, really, I'm good, kind of over and over. If they continue to peer pressure you from there, you can try stalling, saying, maybe later. You could try changing the subject. That can be effective sometimes. But if they continue to peer pressure you after all of these attempts, then what you can do is you can do this thing we call it reversing the peer pressure. And that's where you actually ask them something like, why do you care so much if I have a beer? And usually the response is, well, I don't. And then, of course, you can change the subject from there. But if they continue to peer pressure you at that point, you might need to give them the cold shoulder. You may need to remove yourself from that situation. So the bottom line is that there is a lot more that we can do in terms of helping our kids to handle peer pressure. It's not just about saying no. There's many different things that they can do to handle these rather difficult situations.
So the last piece of information I want to be able to share with you is to make sure that we are asking our young people, how are you going to say no? We need to ask them, which one fits you? Which one's going to make you feel most comfortable? So the ideas that we need to think about is that anything that makes you feel less than the person that you are, that means it's not for you. Okay? I want to make sure that young people feel like they have the power within them to reject the influence of others. Okay? We also want them to make choices based on what's best for them. That idea again, stop, think, ask yourself those two questions. What could happen? And is this what I want to happen? All right? The choices that people make can be positive, and they can be a positive influence on other people. And the most important thing is that God is always there to help you. So before I'm going to share with you something I would like to give to you on top of the organ over here, for any parents or any grandparents or teacher would like to have a resource, I'm going to share with you the actual statement that I give to the kids. At the end of this little chapel service that I give to the kids, I actually have every single student check off what fits who they are and how are they going to learn to say no. And then they have to sign it and they date it. And so they have something that they have actually committed to so that they will remember this part as an exercise to equip them. So when my kids were little, I used to always tell them that, you know, there's all kinds of different influences in the world. And so, you know, I would say, you know, Jesus is always with you. And he may be whispering in your ear to help you make a good choice. But, you know, the devil, he's whispering in the other ear, you know, trying to dissuade you maybe from what Jesus is telling you should do from your choice. So, you know, you tell these little lessons to your kids when they're little, right? And you hope that somehow they resonate with them. I'll never forget the day when my 5-year-old little boy comes running up to me. Mommy, mommy, I have a choice. Which side does Jesus sit on? I can't remember. So, you know, believe it or not, these little bits of encouragement, these little bits of stories, these little things that we do, we as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, as pastors, as church members, we have a responsibility to the youth, to the young people, to the children. And this is just one of the ways that the value in Adventist education contributes to the responsible citizen that we have in our young people, that we're wanting to develop the educational outcomes so that they can go and live a profession. And more importantly, the ultimate outcome is that idea of servant leadership, is to be able to somehow give back. That's ultimately what we are investing in terms of Adventist education. So here's just a sample. I made a couple of copies, so you can take one. If for some reason you don't get a copy, please feel free. My email address is on there. Send me an email. I'll be happy to email you a copy so that you have it. If you're a teacher, an educator, a pastor, a Pathfinder leader, and this is something that you would like to be able to have or to offer, I have a series of 4 lectures that are kind of already created that you can use to help build the right kind of community and help young people make the right choices in their lives. Again, thank you very much. I just put them there in case people could come pick them up. Maybe somebody doesn't want one. So as far as that's concerned, I just thought that. But thank you very much, Becca. I do appreciate that. Should I pray? Okay. May I pray, please? Amazing Father in heaven, we're so blessed to serve you here on this earth. Dear Lord, we want to take the equipping of our young people and raising a Daniel in today's world very seriously. And we know that you are with us in giving us the tools and the resources and the know-how to be able to make that happen. Dear Lord, help us to be brave. Help us to step out sometimes in our comfort zone of other things that we don't feel comfortable talking about, but we need to be able to talk about with young people so that they are equipped to face the world that we live in today. We can't always keep them in our little bubble, in our little cocoon. We know that we have a responsibility to prepare them for living in an outside world as well. Dear Lord, we want to make sure that our kids always know that they can depend on you. And they don't even have to say it out loud. They can just think it and know that you will be there to help them assert themselves better or to escape the situation or to find the right words at the time that they need to be able to say no. Come soon, dear Lord. We can't wait to go home with you. I ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.